Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22. 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, two eclipses for sky watchers. Weird science of chimpanzees that plan ahead. And villages that share solar power. Here's a scientist soundbite.
As the sun appears as a crescent in the sky, the leaves of the trees will act like pinhole cameras and project these images of these little crescent suns onto the ground. And it's like, you'll just look at your feet and you'll see these, you know, hundreds or thousands of these little crescent suns dancing on the ground. And they're just amazing. So very cool thing to see during a partial eclipse.
That's sky watcher Deborah Bird. More with her later, but first, science news of the week with Michael Brennan and Emily Howard.
A brand new system, launched by wireless carriers and the federal government, will send weather warnings to your phone. It'll be implemented later this month. You can receive updates on events such as tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, tsunamis, and blizzards. The system is called Wireless Emergency Alerts. It's automatic and free for everybody who uses a major network. But you can also opt out on most services if you want to.
Turns out your mom was right. Too much sugar isn't good for you. A UCLA study shows a diet consistently high in sugars slows the brain and hampers memory and learning. The study also shows that omega-3 fatty acids can counteract the effect. Earlier research showed that too much sugar contributes to diabetes and obesity. This study is the first to reveal how sugars influence the brain. The peer-reviewed Journal of Physiology published the findings in its May 15th edition.
By now, we all know it's warmer in cities than in the country. Misery for you, maybe, but this urban heat island effect has an upside for trees. Native red oak seedlings grew as much as 8 times faster in New York's Central Park than in rural settings, in an experiment by Columbia University scientists. These scientists say cities' trapped heat is the primary reason, plus airborne nitrogen, a fertilizer, from urban pollution might have also helped the trees. The Journal of Tree Physiology published these findings.
Researchers at MIT and Georgia Tech have created a robot arm that can find and record information from neurons in the living brain. They say their technique gathers this information faster and with better accuracy than a human experimenter. They say the robotic technique will help scientists study brain disorders such as schizophrenia, Parkinson's disease, autism, and epilepsy. Results were published in the journal Nature Methods on May 6th.
Astronomers using the Kepler Space Telescope have discovered a distant planet via its gravitational tugging on another known world. Both planets orbit the sun-like star KOI 872. This same technique led to Neptune's discovery in the year 1846. This is the first time the technique has been successfully used to identify a planet outside our solar system. These results were published in the journal Science on May 10th. And that's Science News of the Week. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard.
Song of the Week this week is by the band Shearwater. It's off their new album, Animal Joy. And this one's called You As You Were.
Change in the weather.
We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Tell us where you're from, and tell us if you saw the solar eclipse. What solar eclipse? Deborah Bird joins us now with that news of the global night sky. Welcome, Deborah.
Hey, Jorge. Solar eclipse for both the Americas and Asia. So for the Americas, the eclipse is going to take place on May 20th in the afternoon. The same eclipse is going to happen on May 21st, according to clocks and calendars in Asia.
Awesome. So what are we looking for?
So this is not a total eclipse of the sun. The moon is too far away in its orbit to create a total eclipse. When the moon is that far away in its orbit, it appears just a little bit smaller in our sky, so it doesn't cover the sun completely at mid-eclipse. So what you see instead at mid-eclipse, if you're specially equipped with solar filters to protect your eyes, because this is, in essence, a partial eclipse, but if you do have those solar filters and you look through them at mid-eclipse, what you would see is the outer surface of the sun in a ring around the moon. And that's why this is called a ring eclipse or an annular eclipse.
That's amazing. It's amazing to see pictures of this. And this is a great chance to actually see one live as it's happening.
Well, it's a great chance to see one if you happen to be on the eclipse path. And as it turns out, for example, Earth's most populous city, which is Tokyo, is right on the path of this eclipse, which is so cool. So people in, you know, living inside the city of Tokyo will be able to look up with their solar filters and see this very cool eclipse. In the United States, the eclipse is going to pass a little bit through the state of Oregon, Northern California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, into the panhandle of Texas. So if you're in any of those places and you can get yourself to that several hundred mile track along the surface of the Earth where this annular eclipse is going to be visible, you'll be able to see the annular eclipse on May 20th, May 21st in Asia.
Yeah, I'm hooked now. I'm going to be looking for this. What are some tips to finding this solar eclipse?
Well, first of all, an annular eclipse of the sun is essentially a partial eclipse. So at most, only 88% of the sun's surface is going to be covered by the moon. So you need some kind of safe way to view the eclipse. If you haven't already ordered your special cool eclipse sunglasses, it's too late. So, you know, the eclipse is happening on May 20th or May 21st, depending on your location on the globe. Now you're going to have to go to Plan B. So Plan B might be that you go to a welding supply store and you order some number 14 welder's glass. So number 14 welder's glass is something that you can look through directly to view this eclipse safely. If you don't find a welding supply store, then what you're going to have to do is view the eclipse indirectly. And we have a post on our website that'll take you to how to view the eclipse indirectly and provides other safe viewing tips. So that's the first thing. You've got to find a safe way to view the eclipse.
I've got to say, it is much easier to view this indirectly with just a pinhole projection. It's very easy to make, and you can find out more about how to do that at earthsky.org. We have an article that has more of these tips on how to see this. It is very dangerous to look directly at the sun, so we do not do that.
Right, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that at any point during this eclipse. So, if you are prepared to view the eclipse, and if you are standing along that track on Earth's surface where the eclipse can be seen either in Asia or in the United States, what you'll see is the sky won't turn completely dark. During a total eclipse of the sun, the sky does turn dark like night.
Wow.
And stars pop into view. It's very cool. For an annular eclipse, that's not going to happen. It's not going to be that dramatic, but the sky should turn a deeper shade of blue at mid-eclipse. And really, for people outside that eclipse path, the closer you are to the eclipse path, the more of a partial eclipse you're going to see. So much of the United States and much of Asia is going to see a partial eclipse of the sun on either May 20th or May 21st. And depending on how close you are to that central eclipse path is going to determine how much of the sun is going to be covered over by the moon, and that's going to determine the types of effects that you're going to see, such as how blue the sky will get at the center part of the eclipse. If you're very, very close to that center line or on the center line, you ought to be able to see the planet Venus shining right next to the eclipsed sun in that very dark blue sky. So that's going to be a super cool thing to see. And I want to mention one more thing to look for, and that is if you're pretty close to the center line or on the center line, as the moon is moving in front of the sun and less of the sun's illuminated surface can be seen, you'll begin to see little crescents. As the sun appears as a crescent in the sky, an illuminated crescent in the sky, the trees, the leaves of the trees, will act like pinhole cameras and project these images of these little crescent suns onto the ground. And it's like you'll just look at your feet and you'll see these, you know, hundreds or thousands of these little crescent suns dancing on the ground, and they're just amazing. So very cool thing to see during a partial eclipse.
But wait, there's more.
That's right. If you miss the eclipse, if you're hearing this program after the eclipse, or if you're not in a place to see the eclipse, which many people aren't, you have something else you might watch for. And again, Asia and the Americas are going to witness this. It's an eclipse of the moon, a partial eclipse of the moon that's going to take place on the morning of June the 4th.
So is this some kind of cosmic coincidence? Why are we having a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse? What's happening?
Well, it's very common that when we have a solar eclipse, we'll have a lunar eclipse, at least a partial eclipse, a couple of weeks later. So, of course, the moon is moving around the Earth. It takes about a month to go around the Earth. The Earth, Sun, and Moon are aligned to make the solar eclipse. They're still somewhat aligned 2 weeks later, when, the moon has now gone to the opposite side of Earth from the sun, appears as a full moon in our sky, and the Earth's shadow falls on the moon, and we see a little bite from the Earth's shadow taken out of the illuminated face of the moon.
Incredible. Two eclipses coming up.
That's right. And so if you want more on either one of these eclipses, come to earthsky.org and search for solar eclipse or lunar eclipse.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird, and we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We're at Sky, broadcast on over 1,200 stations worldwide, including Voice of America. Ryan Britton is back with a new weird science story for us on chimpanzee behavior. Welcome back, Ryan.
Well, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. So what's going on with these chimpanzees?
Well, there's been a recent study about a chimpanzee named Santino. You know, chimpanzees have always been known to be our closest primate relatives. And this is an interesting and weird study. Santino became famous in 2009 because he throws rocks and bits of concrete at park visitors from his enclosure at the Furuvik Zoo near Stockholm. So zookeepers and researchers have found that Santino actually plans his attacks in advance. He gathers rocks, he hides them under hay and under or behind natural features within his enclosure. Sometimes he makes this planning days beforehand. So what's cool about it is it shows that chimpanzees can plan for what's called future psychological conditions. In other words, he knows he's going to feel indignant or surly later in the day or maybe a couple of days later. So he plans for it. He plans to do something about it when that surliness arrives. So just before the rock throwing starts, this is also interesting, he has learned to hide his emotions. So before, he used to show aggressive displays before the rock throwing would start. But then he learned that sent park visitors running because they knew this was the rock throwing chimpanzee. And so what he does now is he hides his behavior. He sort of saunters up nonchalantly and then throws the rocks.
And he's able to surprise attack.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, it's assumed that humans were the only ones to have this disembodied consciousness. In other words, this ability to understand and plan for future events, events that don't just happen regularly or events that the chimp wants to make happen. So, now it looks like humans can do it and chimps can do it.
I think what's weird about this is that what are Okay, Santino the chimp is planning to throw rocks later, and so he's putting him in this special spot to maximize his emotions. But what else are these chimpanzees planning?
We're not sure. The interesting thing is that this is an amazing behavior, but it is antisocial. And so the zookeepers are trying to find ways of discouraging the behavior, even though it is amazing in and of itself.
Thanks, Ryan, with that weird science.
You're welcome. And you can see videos of Santino and get more information either by Googling Santino on YouTube or visiting Lund University. And that's at Lund University, one word, .lu.se.
Earth Sky's Ryan Britton, and we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. Sky. We interview the world's top scientists. There's good news for communities that need electricity but aren't wired to the grid. Villages in the African nations of Uganda and Tanzania are getting electrified through a project called Shared Solar. Instead of getting their electricity wired in from a local utility, these villagers get it from solar panels that they share. What's more, they use their cell phones, which are common even in poor villages, to prepay the electricity they need when they need it. It's like a microgrid, and it's a smart grid, in that the shared solar system monitors and bills the electricity they use in real time, without the need for a utility company. The Shared Solar Project is organized by the Earth Institute at Columbia University in New York. On the line to talk more about it is Dr. Vijay Modi, a research engineer at Columbia who heads the Shared Solar Project. Now, what is the Shared Solar Project?
Shared Solar Project was the name given to a project we have done in Mali and in Uganda over the last 2 years to provide a grid-like connection from solar power to consumers.
How does this work? What is it exactly?
Poor people frequently buy everything in small quantities, and they want the flexibility to make small purchases. This is true of poor people all over the world. So providing that flexibility is the idea of pay as you go. So if you want to buy 50 cents of electricity, you can buy that. It is critical to provide people in that setting with the flexibility to pay when they want, in the amount that they want. The other important concept is that the poor don't have investment capital. Now, when you don't have a grid connection, you either need to buy your own small power plant, which could be a small generator or a small solar panel with batteries. But that is a capital investment. The poor prefer just buying the service where they don't have to make that investment up front.
I mean, this sounds like an amazing program that's really changing lives in some of these places that you're focusing on, Africa, in India. What's new and what's innovative about shared solar?
What is innovative about shared solar is that it is a modular, ready-to-deploy solution. And you can pay using a mobile phone or walk over to a vendor in your community, pay even a small amount of money, and obtain electricity service.
Setting up solar power sounds expensive. How is shared solar made affordable and ultimately sustainable for poor people?
The fact that solar power can scale to as small a system as you want actually allows it to be cheaper than the kind of systems we end up deploying when we consume a lot more. And the ability to not have to rely on a grid makes it cheaper than the alternatives that the poor have.
You've been listening to research engineer Vijay Modi, and that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at Earth Sky Studio B in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Byrne. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors: Shearwater, 100 Flowers, Sleep Good, and The Black and White Years. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much heart, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage.